Hello, everybody. Malcolm Teasdale here, the travel addict. First up, apologies. What do I mean by that? Well, apologies means that I haven't been around for a while. If you've noticed, there hasn't been any Travel Addict podcasts episodes lately. Well, I can explain that. I've been on the road for about a month. So I apologize to my guests who I've had to put off for quite some time. But I thought, you know, in apology, I need to describe what the hell I've been up to for the last month. Well, it all started, actually, back in February. And I wanted to plan a trip around the sort of a speaking gig I was assigned to do in Asia. So on February the 12th, I decided to leave home and fly into Atlanta. Well, I had a bit of a layover before taking a 16-hour flight to Seoul, Korea. Sure, this flight left really late, almost midnight, so my internal clock was ruined already. But once I got to Seoul, Korea, which was about 6 o'clock in the morning, had a bit of a layover. I had to change terminals there before taking a Philippine Airlines flight down to Manila in the Philippines. Now, Manila, in its wisdom, I don't know if you know this, but Manila is the most congested city on the planet, most congested area on the planet. Now, when I say congested, I mean human beings, basically. And if you think sort of London, New York is congested, it doesn't actually get anywhere clear Manila. It works out that Manila has about 110,000 people per square mile. Now, Manila is a relatively small city, but it does have a large metropolitan area. Funnily enough, I decided to stay there for about 4 nights just to get over the jet lag from this brutal trip. So up to Atlanta was about an hour, 16-hour flight to Seoul, and another 4-hour flight from Seoul to Manila, and the drive to my hotel, which was actually in the city / town of Makati, M-A-K-A-T-I. I got to this hotel. Now, Makati is really a modern area. It's a business hub of that area of the Philippines. So lots of financial institutions, nice hotels, class act, actually a good place to stay. And I was actually in good hands because I stayed at a hotel called the New World Makati Hotel. I stayed there for a few nights. I said 4 nights, actually, and actually found a British pub called the Union Jack. They even sold on the menu fish and chips. So I had to at least try that. Now, while I was in that area, I also dropped in at the Peninsula Hotel, which very elaborate lobby there, beautiful. And then a classical music band playing up on the balcony, great. And I also went to Raffles. Raffles is more famous for the one in Singapore, where you can go and drink a yard of ale and eat peanuts and throw the shells on the floor. Now, Raffles Hotel in Singapore is very, very expensive, well over $1,000 a night. I only visited the one in the Philippines. It's less expensive, of course, as is the Philippines is in general, but I just went to the Longmar, which is the same name as the one in Singapore, and had a beer, and I ate peanuts and turfed the shells on the floor, pretty much like the Singapore one. Beautiful. Now, after 4 nights, I was sort of recovered from jet lag. So I took a flight from Manila to Hong Kong. It's about 2.5 hours on Cathay Pacific, very efficient airline. And then I got to Hong Kong airport. And I decided to take the high-speed train to Hong Kong Island. It's about 30-minute high-speed train ride, super-duper efficient, which is going to be 10 minutes. So that's me and my luggage getting on the train from Hong Kong to Hong Kong Central. And from there, I took a taxi to my hotel. Now, Hong Kong is very expensive. And although I've been there a few times, it's got more expensive over the years. So I just stayed at the Novotel in an area called Wan Chai. Hong Kong sort of became famous kind of many decades ago, because when I was growing up in England, there used to be a series on TV called the Hong Kong Beat. And it made the place look to be a place of ill repute, where it wasn't really that, hasn't been really that, although it's sort of lively, but it's extremely actually vibrant. So I wasn't going to be there 2 nights, but I did make a point in going back to one of my favorite bars in the world, and that's a captain's bar at the Mandarin Oriental Hotel, fairly close by. I decided to walk there, however, couldn't quite make it there because the road system actually breached through. So I wasn't going to cross these busy roads and get run over. So for the remainder of the trip, I took a taxi, about a 5-minute taxi, to get me where I needed to go. And it just so happens to be that it's the cheapest taxi ride I have ever had at $1.50. Just think about that. Back home here, it costs you more than that just to get into a taxi. Anyway, I stayed at the Mandarin Oriental just to kind of relive those memories from the past. Fabulous bar, live music, sort of lounge music, great. And then after 2 nights, I had to make my way to the shipport to get on the ship. Now, this was a fantastic cruise, which piqued my interest, actually. I'm familiar with Asia to a certain extent. So what I had to do on this cruise, which was about 13 days, was to talk about the history, geography, and the culture of various places in Asia. But the beauty of this is once it sailed out of Hong Kong, it sailed down the coastline of Vietnam. So the first stop was Ha Long Bay, which is sort of close to the capital of Hanoi. So one sea day to get there, so I was talking about the history, geography of Vietnam, of which there is much, by the way. So got to Hanoi and took a trip to Ha Long Bay, which is one of the new wonders, natural wonders of the world. And it's a place of uniqueness, beauty. There's about 2,000 islets, small islets, that have over 500 million years developed into what it is now. Just Google that. So I took a trip into this area with all these little small islands, and I even went into a cave, which is called, a famous cave, which is called the Heavenly Palace Cave. Very spooky rock formations are really strange in there. So I was in the cave for about 2 hours, and it's unbelievable rock formations, pretty much like the rock formations in the where the longest underground river is situated in the Philippines, in Palawan. I took a few pictures there, and basically an overnight in Ha Long Bay there, because there's quite a bit to see. And then it was another sea day down to Da Nang, which is sort of central Vietnam, and then back on the ship for another sea day to get to Ho Chi Minh, previously called Saigon. I've been to Ho Chi Minh a couple of times, so I didn't really get off the ship at that time. It's a chaotic city, sort of fun actually, but it's definitely worth seeing. Another sea day, so I had to do a lecture that day, and then we arrived in Bangkok. Well, not exactly Bangkok. It's a port there called Layam Shabang. It's about 2-hour drive south, probably a little bit more, of Bangkok. So my intention was at the time, well, to get off the ship and go to one of my favorite cities in the world, which is Bangkok. It's what I call brilliantly chaotic, which it is, but it's a fabulous place. But I thought about the traffic to get there. So Bangkok was north of the shipport, but 30 minutes south was a city called Pattaya, P-A-T-T-A-Y-A. I went there once before on a scuba diving trip, and I picked up a sinus infection, so I couldn't go scuba diving. But Pattaya at that time, what I thought was the wildest place on the planet. So I thought, well, I'll go back and take a look at it. And I booked into a hotel, the same one as I did 10 years ago, and Siam Bayshore, which is close to that area. So I stayed overnight there, but I got to the hotel and just walked around what they call Walking Street. Yet it's still pretty much the same. So in my humble opinion, it is, in fact, the wildest place on the planet, Pattaya. Google it. Actually, do a search on YouTube. You'll see videos of it. I can't even start to explain it. You just have to see it. More for the younger generation, not for the likes of me, but I just enjoyed walking down there, enjoying the vibe. And it is safe, actually, very safe, as is most of Thailand, by the way. And then that following day, got back on the ship and sailed down to Koh Samui. Koh Samui, Thailand, is on the eastern coast of Thailand, in the Gulf of Thailand, but a beautiful island. And if you ever get a chance to go there, you've got to do it. Nice beaches, but you can be in the sort of semi-crowded area or sort of be isolated if you want. Beautiful beaches. And spent the day there before another day at sea. And I had to lecture about Singapore. Well, I actually lived in Singapore for a while in 2007, 2008. So I got to know quite a bit about it, especially when I had to do business there. So I learned a bit about the culture before hitting the road around Asia to try and get companies to buy my company's products. So the thing about Singapore, it is now the most expensive city. Singapore is what we call a city-state. It's a country as well. Singapore, city-state. There's only two others in the world. That's Monaco and Vatican City. So three city-states. Singapore is the most expensive city in the world. And I don't know if there's a reason for that, but it's obviously got really expensive. I always equate the expense of a place by how much it costs. This sounds weird for a pint of beer. If in US dollars, Singapore is about 14 US dollars, which is pretty steep. So I had to not stay there the night, but that was my disembarkation point. But talking about Singapore, here's a little snippet of information for you. In Singapore, it's basically crime-free. It's also, by the World Health Organization, it's been voted to have the best healthcare system in the world. No surprise there. That's based on various factors, quality, fairness, distribution, administration, cost, etc. Anyway, Singapore is number one there, and it ties in with the fact it's most expensive place, but the cost of healthcare in Singapore is not expensive. Figure that out. You get a cheap car, you've got to hand over 76,000 US dollars, or the equivalent Singapore dollars, but US dollars, you've got to hand over 76,000 US dollars to the government before you even qualify to even buy a car. How about that? That's a good thing to do, isn't it, to keep traffic off the road? Sort of works. If you want an SUV, you've got to hand over about 116,000. Here's where the main trip starts for me. Got off at Singapore, and I took a ride to the airport. Now, Changi Airport in Singapore has, for the last 3 years, been voted the best airport in the world. There's a good reason for that. It's unbelievably fantastic. The architecture there is unbelievable. You'd want to go there to spend a day there if you could. A day out. Yeah, take the family for a day out, go to an airport. If you had to do that, this would be the airport. Sounds weird. Singapore Airlines, of course, is a renowned airline. That's always, well, last few years, been voted the best airline in the world also. But the reason I was going to Singapore Airlines to fly out of there. Now, I was on my way to do an activity I hadn't done for 9 years. So I was going to go back to Bhutan. Where is that, you may say? Well, it's a landlocked country in the Himalayan mountains. If you Google this or go to YouTube, whatever, type in Tiger's Nest Monastery. And you'll see the picture. It used to be a meditation center, but it got turned into a monastery many, many years ago. There's a long story behind that. And it's about 10,500 feet up, built on a rock face. How they built it is still a mystery today, but I wanted to climb up to it. Now, I'm a bit of an old geezer these days. Could I do it? At my age, not many people do make it because it's very, very strenuous. But I wanted to see if I could. So I got my visa and took a flight to Paro, capital city. No, not the capital city. It's where the airport is of the country of Bhutan. It's about a six-hour flight, but it stopped off at a small town in India, on the northeastern coast of India, before I got there. So I checked into the Le Meridian Hotel, which is on the river there. Beautiful location. Now, Bhutan is very peaceful, spectacular scenery. The airport is surrounded by 18,000-foot peaks, which makes it one of the most dangerous airports in which to land a plane in the world. Yep, it's a bit nerve-wracking. As you come into land, plane to sort of left-right turns, sharp turns as well. So it's a bit disconcerting, but I knew what to expect going in there. Anyway, I got back to my hotel and had a rest day the next day before using a tour guide. I got a choice on this. Got to use a tour guide to help me, guide me up to the trek up to Tiger's Nest Monastery. Took about 3 hours from ground level up to this location. It's a very sacred location. I made it. Thanks a little bit to my guide who sort of encouraged me along the way. I could have thrown in the towel. A few people coming down when I was going up just gave up. It's just too much. But there's a rest stop on the way. But really, you know, I had to make it. And I did. Yes, it was tiring. But anyway, we got there. Now, we're going to the monastery. You can't take photographic equipment into this place, which is expected, as you cannot into other sacred places like the Sistine Chapel or other places like that. It's forbidden. So anyway, myself and my guide went into the monastery and saw the monks at work. There's about 30 monks who live there today, and they practice Buddhism. But this place is so sacred, it's so spiritual inside. I've never been in any place like it. And that feeling was there again as I did this the second time. Unbelievable. So if you want to add something to your bucket list, this would be it. Because I speak to a lot of people who accomplish this, younger than me actually. They said, yeah, we struggled, but it was well worth it in the end. And it is. But I stayed in Bhutan for about 4 nights. And just chilling out, enjoying the sort of scenery there. It's so peaceful. It's not overcrowded. And as looked on as being one of the happiest places on the planet. One afternoon, I just sat outside of the back of my hotel for about 2 hours. I had a cup of coffee and just felt at peace. Looking at the view, the river, the mountains. Very serene. I didn't see a person. I saw a couple of horses and cattle go by. They were just grazing. That's what they do. They sort of roam around freely. It's just lovely. So that was my 4-day trip to the beautiful country of Bhutan. The previous time I went there, by the way, 9 years ago, I just happened to be there for the king's birthday. Yes, it is a monarchy. So going there for the king's birthday was a special treat. Everyone celebrates that. And obviously it's a perfectly safe country, but This trip was extra special because I did make it to Tiger's Nest Monastery. But it was time to leave. So I went to the airport and took a 2-hour flight down to Bangkok. Now, this is a bit complicated. Bangkok has 2 airports, quite large, a major one, and they have another one, which is about an hour's drive away. So these large cities tend to have more than one airport, like London has about 3, you know. But anyway, so I landed at Bangkok about 4 PM, and I took a taxi to stay at a hotel overnight next door to the other airport. It's called Don Mueang Airport, obviously. And anyway, I spent the night there and then got up early in the morning and took a flight, an internal flight on Air Asia, to a place called Chiang Rai. Oh, I just want to add this, by the way. When you go to Bhutan, no international airlines fly there. The only airline that flies in and out of Bhutan is the carriers from that country, Druk Air and Bhutan Airways. It's a lot to do because it's so dangerous to land there and have special training to do that. And you just can't imagine the disaster it would be if a plane went down in the Himalayas there. So that's why, I think that's a logical reason why, okay? Anyway, going back, sorry about that, but anyway, going back, yes, I took an internal flight to the city of Chiang Rai. Now, previously in Thailand, I've been to Bangkok probably about 15 times. I've been to Phuket about 10 times. I've been to Udon Thani on the northeastern coast, and I've been to Koh Samui and Pattaya. So I've been to all areas of Thailand, except at the very northern tip of the country, close to the mountains. So I wanted to try this. It's not a large city, but I wanted to go there. So I took an internal flight, Chiang Rai. It's actually close to Chiang Mai, not to be confused. So I landed at Chiang Rai and took a ride to my hotel, which was the Le Méridien. It's part of the Marriott chain. And this was another place of beauty. It really was, just on the river. And what I did there, I chilled out for the first day, but there's these temples there which are unbelievable. One's called the White Temple. One is called the Blue Temple. And they have their names in Thai. So they're Buddhist temples, great architecture. Even down Chiang Rai, they have the clock tower, which comes alive at night and plays music and lights flash on and off. It's beautiful, but the place is not overcrowded. It's peaceful. People are friendly there, as they always are in Thailand. So I spent 3 nights in Chiang Rai. I found a British pub, O'Kane's it was, I remember that. And that was sort of in the city centre, just down the street from the clock tower, where I went for a pint and some food. And most nights, it was excellent. But the last four day there, what I did, I took a trek, a hike. Taxi driver dropped me off somewhere, and I took a hike into the hills or the mountains of northern Thailand. And I knew what I was doing when I went there, but I got to meet some of the hill tribe people. There's various tribes who live in this area, high up. They've been living there all their lives. They're not going to change. That's where they want to live. That's where their ancestors lived. And I got to meet the long neck people. These wear these gold rings around their neck. The women do, by the way. And it looks like they've got a long neck. That's a tradition. It's like traditional clothing. So I got to meet them. And also, there's other tribes there. Very welcoming. Obviously, they don't speak English. But we communicated roughly, if you know what I mean. Hand signals and all that. But the women do a lot of sewing all day. The kids are at school, which the schools are in these villages as well. It's just very educational to see how these people live and work, if you wish, for all of their lives. They live in peace. That's the main thing. So I had to check out of there, but before I took the flight back home, I had to overnight in Phuket. So I took a flight out of Chiang Rai, a direct flight by Thai Vietjet. And they have the stewardesses have their own special uniform. They're all really cute and friendly, but that was a neat flight down to Phuket. Now, as many times as I've been to Phuket, I've always stayed on the coast. Patong Beach, Kalong Beach, Kata Beach, etc. And those are the best places to stay if you want to enjoy the beach or the partying stuff. I'm not big into parties, but I have been to Patong Beach, which is pretty wild, actually. But I wanted to do something different. So I booked a hotel. There's a Marriott Courtyard, actually. It's in the Phuket Old Town. So that's where I stayed my last night in Asia. So what I did, I walked around downtown that night. And, I got to find a couple of pubs. And one of them was called the Anfield Cafe. Well, Anfield is a famous soccer ground. It's the soccer ground of Liverpool Football Club in England. Well, this bar/cafe was named after that place, Anfield, right? And the Liverpool paraphernalia up there. So it was good to go to that place. And I also went to the Mad Hog Bar, which is very spooky inside. It had a slanted front door. You go in and there's ghosts and ghoulies hanging about the place. Just seemed out of place, but it was just fun. That's what people do. Have fun there. So walked around and spent my last night in the old town of Phuket. Delightful. And then had a late checkout and then went to Phuket Airport for a long trip home. So basically from Phuket, I had a 2-hour flight to Singapore with a 3-hour layover before getting the longest haul flight that's around today on Singapore Airlines. 18 and a half hours, probably more than that, from Singapore to New York, all right? So you can imagine. Luckily, I was able to lay down on a flat bed and go to sleep 3 times. So eat, sleep, drink, repeat, all that stuff. And so that's what I did, but it was very comfortable, well taken care of. Eventually made it back to New York at about 6:30 a.m., connected to a flight through Atlanta to get home eventually. So I made it back a month later. So basically, it took me about a week to get over it and made it back. But you know what? Was it strenuous? Yes. Am I sort of old now? Yeah, I'm approaching the big 7-0. Not quite there yet. But look, I've achieved something that will provide memories for me for a lifetime. Not only just going to Asia, seeing these beautiful places that one has to see on the planet. There's so much beauty on our planet. Yes, there's death and destruction everywhere. There's conflict everywhere. You know, there's hate in a lot of places. I have to distance myself from that. I don't watch too much news. I have to go and see these places of beauty, meet the people of our planet, see how they live, work, enjoy their company, enjoy each other's company. And it's a beautiful thing to do. We all should spend more time, if we can, doing this. Learn about how the rest of the world lives and works. It's enlightening, fulfilling, and it will provide you with memories of a lifetime. All right, folks, I'm going to close this out, but stand by. We're going to have some, the next week or so, some guests on the program. They're lining up, and I've got some good guests coming up as well. And if you ever get a chance, I've got another podcast going. It's called Two Brits in America, myself and a buddy of mine who also lives in America in the Atlanta area. It's all the nuances, language nuances, the difference between Britain and America. And we call ourselves bilingual, but we talk about that. It's a laugh a minute. And we've got quite a sort of a good following now from different places on the planet. So Two Brits in America, check it out, folks. But in the meanwhile, just wait for the next Travel Addict podcast. We'll be coming your way shortly. Have a good day, folks. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.